Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. So let's go live right now into the sanctuary where Pastor Brad Smith is about to deliver a fresh word from heaven.
Stand with me if you're able this morning. If you're not, we understand. You say, why do we do that? Well, we stand to honor the judge. Amen. We stand to honor the president. We ought to stand to honor Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15. And I want to read just a couple verses of scripture today. Luke chapter 15, I want to start at verse 8. I want to read down through verse 10. Reads like this. He says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Father, thank you for your word this morning. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Lord, right now I ask you to speak to our hearts. Every person that walked through this door, I pray they would be arrested by the presence of the Holy Spirit and that he would draw them closer to him so that we can usher the harvest that you've died for. And God, we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Come on, if you're happy to be in the house of the Lord, just smile at me real good. Praise the Lord. Now look at your neighbor and tell them you're looking good this morning. Amen. Well, hey, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad the heater bill was paid this month. Amen. Can I get a witness? Praise the Lord. We're glad to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're a guest, we want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here, and we hope you'll come back, get connected, be a part of our church family. But we started a brand new sermon series last week entitled Lost and Found. Anybody remember you were here? We're talking about God's lost and found department. Last week, we started talking about the parable of the lost sheep. If you weren't here, I want to reiterate just for a second. We talked about the fact that there was a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And all of a sudden, one of these sheep wandered off aimlessly into the wilderness. And when the shepherd had time to recollect and take an account of what he had been given, he found out that one of them had been lost. So that shepherd, with reckless abandon, leaves the 99 to go out into the wilderness to find the one. We talked about how it's very possible that in today's society, many of us would be happy with the 99, but realizing that God cares about the one. Aren't you glad he cares about the one? But then our writer goes in and he writes a little bit different. He tells us, as we read just a moment ago, he says, of what woman having 10 silver coins? So today we're going to talk about the lost coin. You know, as I was beginning to think about this, it was really a reality to me. Because I'll tell you where you can find lost coins. You can find lost coins when you're moving. You begin to pick up couches and you shake out cushions and you find all types of stuff under there. If you have kids, you may find chicken nuggets or french fries or juice boxes. Or in my case, I found quarters and nickels and dimes. I found all kinds of stuff. But then you turn over the washing machine. And every time I go to the washing machine, I hear my mother's, the sound of her voice in my ear, to empty your pockets. Right? My oldest child, Aaron, went through this phase where he liked to collect acorns out of the yard. And we would literally find acorns in the bottom of the washing machine. But if you turn up a washer or a dryer, oftentimes you're going to find change. And it's crazy where these coins will find themselves in life. You know, you walk out on the parking lot, you can probably pass by a penny, pass by a quarter. You might pass by a quarter, a penny, or a dime, or a nickel in Walmart. And if we're honest, how many of us just walk by a penny and don't think a lot about it? Because in today's economic society, right, one penny is not going to buy you a lot of anything. I remember growing up, there was a store down the road from my house, and my parents used to allow me to walk there. It was called Petrie's Grocery Store. And on the counter, there were three jars, and each one of them, the jar was written 1 cent. And you could buy a piece of a gumball or a jawbreaker for a penny. And I mean, a kid with 50 cents, you felt wealthy. But how many of you know today a penny doesn't hold a lot of value in the grand scheme of things? And so even in our own instance, when looking at a coin, we might see the one singular penny laying on the side of the road, and it's easy for us to walk by it and not think much about it. But in looking at our scripture today and the passage, the overall totality of the theme, we understand that even the most minuscule thing that we may walk by in life has value to God. Now watch this. When we look at this particular passage, this woman has 10 silver pieces. 10 silver pieces. And those types of things may not look like an effort to us, but she got into a frantic when she lost one of them. You know, it's one of those things that we can say it's not worth the effort to pick up the penny. It's not worth it. But it was Benjamin Franklin who said this, and you might know it. You can say it with me. A penny saved is a penny earned. One penny by itself may not mean much to you, but when you take a lot of them together, you can come up with some change. I remember also being a kid where I would take the coins, and at this point in my life, I thank God for technology, because when I was a kid, we had to get the penny wrappers and the rollers, and we had to roll them and take them to the bank, and they weighed them, and thank God for the machines where you can just take your quarters and your chains and your loose stuff and dump it in, and it counts it for you, amen? I remember the days of having to get those penny wrappers and take them, and I remember I would get 50 cents and a dollar and $5, and I would take it to the bank and cash it in for a shiny, crisp bill. The truth of the matter is that when we look in our lives, we oftentimes think that that which is small does not mean a lot. But I think that in Luke chapter 15, the writer is trying to tell us something very, very significant, that those things in life which we may not put a lot of value on are valuable to God. As I said before, and I'll say it again, what determines value is measured by what somebody is willing to pay. And when you look at the human life, Jesus was willing to come and give the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. So at the moment in your life, you may think that you're not worth anything. You might think that you are no good for anything. People may have pushed you aside. Society may have rejected you. But you need to understand today that God sees you as valuable, unique. He sees you as treasured. He sees you as prized. And He loves you just that much. Sometimes we don't put effort into picking up what is seeming to be minuscule. It's interesting in our passage, in Luke chapter 15, we see here that there is a shepherd who leaves the 99 to go after the one. And in this passage, we see that there's 10 and loses one. Next week, we're going to see that there's 2 and he goes back after the one. And then the week after that, we're going to see that there is 1 and he goes after the one. I think the story that we need to get in our hearts today is that we're significant to God. We may not realize it, but we have value and we have purpose. So I want to look into some stuff this morning that I think will be a help to you today. I want to look at this in the backdrop of what actually is going on. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, the single coin was valuable. The single coin was valuable. Now, to really understand this passage today, you have to understand culture. You have to understand the context in which the scripture was written. The Jewish Eastern culture is a lot different than the Western culture that you and I live in. Now, whenever I got married, I went and asked my wife's father for permission. I'm still Southern. I believe that's what you should do. Amen. I went and asked her dad for permission. Then I went and got an engagement ring, and I planned this whole thing out. Well, the way that they do it in Eastern culture is a lot different. And so what you would do is it was customary for the man to pay a dowry to the woman's father. And in that days, it was particularly good to trade animals. And so the father would say, the man would go to the father and say, I'm interested in taking your daughter's hand in marriage. So what he would do is he would say, is that acceptable? And the father would say, yes, what are you going to give me for her? And oftentimes he would say, well, 8 goats or 10 cows or 12 cows. Well, I'm going to ask you a question today, men. How many cows is your wife worth? Don't answer that out loud. It's funny because on the mission field in Africa, it's still the same way. And every time we take a healthy young lady with us, they try to give us cows to get her to get married. Say, she's married already. Does it matter? No, they're polygamous. It does not matter. They have many wives over there. But it's interesting because he would go and he would offer this dowry, and whether it was 7 cows, 8 cows, or 10 cows, it was acceptable. Their families would mesh well together. Then the father would offer up his daughter for a place of marriage. That man would go and he would prepare a place, usually built onto the father's house, for them to live. So after everything was prepared, the father then would give the daughter a gift. Today we have wedding rings. In that culture, wedding ring was not what they would have worn. He would have given her a headband, a headdress, if you will, with 10 silver coins or more. 10 was the average, but they would have these coins that would have little beadery or different jewelry hanging down in front of their face, and it was something that symbolized several different things. The first thing that it signified today was that she was a married woman. If she would go to the market and she would be out there, if they saw her with these coins, these 10 coins, it would mean that she was off of the market, that she was taken, that she was the woman of another man. So that was important for a woman to give that. Also, it was a sign of security. Because in those days, women a lot of times were treated like property. The divorce laws were very different then. And so this, each coin signified a day's wage. Those of you that aren't on salary understand to miss a day of work hurts, amen? In any culture. And so this woman, you know, has these coins, and it was a symbol actually of security. What that meant is, listen, bud, if you're mean to me, I at least have enough money to make it a little while and get back to my father's house. So it's a sign of security. And so all of those things are there. And so you can understand why it would be that this woman would get upset over one coin. You and I maybe dropped a penny, we wouldn't think much about it. But to this woman, this single coin was valuable. Valuable. So the fact that she lost it threw her into a frizzy. I'm going to ask you a question today. Have you ever lost something that was valuable to you? Let me ask you, ladies, have you ever lost a wedding ring? Have you ever lost a diamond earring? Have you ever lost your car keys? Funny story. One day I'd lost my glasses. I was searching around the house and I was saying, where are they? I can't find where I put them. I went right by the mirror and I said, you idiot, they're on your face. But all of us in this room know the panic and the urgency of losing something that you value. True story, I'm not joking about this. This is real. I was in Nairobi, Kenya on a mission trip. I went into a bathroom to wash my hands in a mall beside the embassy, and I lost my passport. Listen, there are a lot of things that you want to lose in a third world country, but your passport's not one of them. I remember walking down the steps, and I have this habit. I always pat my hand on my front pocket, make sure my phone is there, my hand on my back pocket, make sure my wallet is there. In this case, it was not. And at that moment, life really went into a frenzy for me. And by a miracle of the grace of God, it was right where I had left it. And I can't describe the peace that went over my heart when I had located that which I had lost. And I think those of you that are in this place, you can understand the same thing. I actually saw a real moving article in our hometown where we just moved from a few months ago. 30 years after the fact, a woman at Lake Monticello had lost her wedding ring. And she had looked for it and looked for it and looked for it. And there was a man with a metal detector who found it 30 years later. Isn't that cool? The man got it polished. He put it back in the store. And he took his wife on a date. And she immediately recognized the ring. She broke down. They had a camp. It was all planned out. This happened a couple months ago. It was amazing. But we all know that feeling of finding something that was of value to us. And I want you to know something today, that this is a parable. It's not a real story. It's a story that Jesus used to tell a story. And I don't know that if you've caught on to it this morning or not, but this isn't really about a coin. It's actually about a soul. It's actually about a soul. And I want you to know today that when Jesus looks out in the crowd, he doesn't just see a number, he sees a name. He sees a destiny. He sees a life. He knows. Listen, the scripture says that from even before you were born, God knew you. He formed you. He had a purpose for your life. And he knows the end of your days. Here's the thing. Romans said it like this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, he didn't wait till you cleaned up your life. Right before you even knew you needed Jesus, he made provision for you to be saved. And I want you to know that if you were the only person on the face of this planet, Jesus still would have gave his life for you. Because the single coin was valuable. You know, I think that sometimes we're so busy chasing the crowd that we miss the one. And we have to realize that the crowd is made up of a bunch of ones. And until we understand that we have to reach the one who is insignificant, the one who Jesus died for, the single coin was valuable. I want you to look at this too. Number two, taking notes, write it down. The search was intentional. The search was intentional. When this woman realized that this coin had been lost, she sprung into action, seeing that it is restored. To her, it was a valuable thing. You know, that moment that you realize something is lost, I have a very fixated personality, and I will not rest. Sleep will not come to my eyelids until I finish what I'm trying to do. It's the same way when I'm looking for stuff that's lost. I remember losing a birth certificate one time. I turned the whole house upside down because I was looking for that which was important for me to find. This was really, really, really intentional. She had a will to find it. She worked to find it. And at the end, she won because she found it. But I want you to see what she did, actually, as we look in Luke chapter 15. Look it with me in verse number 8. It says, "And what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, she does not light a lamp and sweep the house?" Everybody say, light a lamp and sweep the house. She went and got her broom. Ladies, listen. How many of you know there are new brooms that you can buy, but nothing sweeps the house good like an old broom? One whose edges know the corners. One who knows the cracks and the crevices. This woman, I just imagine her. She lit a lamp, she grabbed a broom, and she went to begin to sweep that house until she found it. There are some interesting things about this particular passage that you and I can read over if we're not careful. See, the first thing is the Bible says she lights a lamp. We have to ask ourselves the question, why did she light the lamp? Can I tell you? Because the coin was lost in darkness. The coin was lost in darkness. See, in those days, the Jewish houses were not like today. You ought to say thank God for modern appliances and modern technology. People say, I remember the good old days. They weren't so good. No power steering in the car. Anybody remember those days? There were some good things, but thank God technology has advanced a little bit. They had no electricity in the house and not a lot of windows, and so the house was dark. They relied upon oil lamps, and so they would light them up. And so the moment that this woman realized that her coin was lost, she lit a lamp. Why? Because you can't see in darkness. You need to know the coin was lost in darkness, but here's the parallel. Men are lost in darkness. When we don't know Jesus, we are in darkness. The scripture says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So realize this. Those who don't know God, they are in an eternal abyss. Their destination will be eternal separation from God unless they're found and the light shines upon them. So thankful. talking about the light, the book of John says that he was a light that came into darkness, and the darkness comprehended him not. Jesus came into this world as a light to reach the lost, those who are lost in sin, those who are lost in traditionalism, those who are lost in religion. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. These men were lost in darkness. It's a terrible thing. Not only was man lost in darkness, but the Bible says she grabbed a broom. Why did she grab the broom? Because not only were men lost in darkness, but they were lost in the dirt. Because in those days, they didn't have carpet, they didn't have tile, you didn't have those types of amenities. They most of the time had dirt floors. That's why feet washing was such a custom in Bible days. Before you would go into a business or a place of worship or somebody's house, they would wash their feet. Because the sandals and lack of shoes that we have today and the dirt floors really provided for a messy environment. But this coin was lost in the dirt. See, there's some illustrations here that really cause some illumination to come to our mind. If you were to pull out a quarter today, who's on the quarter? George Washington, right? In those days, the coins, the silver coins, were stamped with the image of the king. And every coin was stamped by the image of the king with the date that it was made. So these coins, you have to understand, the parable of this is not about coins, it's about people. And because men are lost in the darkness and in the dirt, the image of the king that is upon the coin is marred in the darkness by the dirt. Here's what you need to understand. The scripture teaches us in Genesis chapter 1 that we were made in the image of God. And we have been stamped with the image of God. We're not a gorilla. We didn't come from a tadpole. There's not evolution. God created man in his image and in his likeness. And so now, because of the sin of the first Adam, and Adam and Eve were up there eating and doing things, theologians want to argue the fact, was it an apple or was it a tree? I want you to know it wasn't the apple on the tree that bothers me. It's the pear on the ground that messed it all up. And Adam and Eve had this broken connection with God till, you know, they're walking with God in the cool of the day and he's talking with them face to face. And then now he's hiding himself in the nakedness of the garden because sin has come into the picture. You see, men without Jesus are sinful. Do you know that you don't have to teach a child to do wrong? Any parents or grandparents, can I get a witness on that? They come out of the womb selfish. Me, mine, give it to me. We spend the first 2 years of their life telling them the world revolves around them and spend the next 20 telling them that it doesn't. I want you to know something. You don't have to teach somebody to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. And that is because of the Adamic sin nature that happened at the fall of man. The image of God is marred in the dirt. So can you imagine this polished silver coin that is lying there in the dirt, and the woman takes it and she polishes it back up? You know what I'm glad about this morning? I'm glad that when he finds us, he doesn't leave us like we were. I'm glad that he doesn't leave us in the pig pen. I'm glad he doesn't leave us in the muck and the mire. I'm glad he doesn't leave us in that sinful place. I'm like what David said. He took my feet out of the miry clay. He set me upon the rock and he established me. Hallelujah. And he took me and he out of that dirt and he remade the image of the king. Hallelujah. Can I give you a little piece of information today? If you're saved, you're saved. You know there's like no degrees of saved. Like Pharisees, like they think like blind Bartimaeus is this saved, and the Pharisees think they're like this saved. No, you're either saved or you're not saved. You're a saint or you're an ain't, right? You're either in Christ or you're not. And I'm glad that that image that was marred is made clear again by the personhood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, you're not made righteous by what you do. You're made righteous by what he did. You're not made sanctified by what you do. You're sanctified by what he did. Therefore, everything we do, good works-wise, comes out of an outflow of a relationship with him. See, here's what we have to understand. When we're in darkness and we're in dirt, the image of God is marred on our lives. But God reaches down, sweeps us up out of that place. This coin was swept probably out of the corner of a room. But I want to ask you a question today. Where were you when God found you? Maybe you were saved on a church pew. Maybe you were saved on a bar stool. Maybe you were saved out of a life of sin. But wherever you were, thank God he found you. Men were lost in the dirt. But not only were they lost in the dirt, but watch this. They're lost in disuse. This coin had no value to her as long as it was lost. You know, you can have $1 million, but if you can't find it, it's no good to you. You can have the keys to a brand new car, but if you cannot find them, it's no good to you. And I want you to know there are a lot of people who God is interested in using, but he can't use them because they're lost. And one of the reasons why God, in this picture, is showing us a woman who is searching frantically for this coin is because she wants to put the coin into use. I want you to know something today. You may be insignificant by yourself, but with God on your side, he has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. He's got something for you to do. Listen, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the darkness. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the dirt. God has a plan for your life. He wants to take you out of the unemployment line and employ you into the army of God. So many people identify more with the marred image than they do with the image of the king. Do you know? I said it a moment ago. You're either saved or you're not saved. Right? There's no in-degree term. Do you know that Paul, when he addressed the church at Corinth, he wrote to the saints at Corinth. Have you ever read the book of Corinthians? They have aspired in the natural to everything besides sainthood. They're getting drunk at communion. One guy's sleeping with his father's wife. How messed up is that? All of these different things, but Paul calls them saints. Why? Because when he finds you, you may be messed up, but you just have to let him keep polishing on you. Amen? That's why Paul told us the Word of God is like a mirror. And when we look into it, we behold Christ. And we, every moment when we wake up, we ought to pray that God make me look more like Jesus. Let the image of God come into my life. So the coin was in disuse. Here's the next thing I want to tell you. The coin was lost in the house. The coin was lost in the house. This is amazing to me. It wasn't lost in Walmart parking lot. It wasn't lost in the bank driveway. The money didn't slip out of the ATM and he left it there on the floor. This coin was lost in the house. And isn't that amazing that the scripture is even painting a picture that not everybody who comes to church is born again? That's the whole purpose of Luke chapter 15. Jesus is relaying to the Pharisees who think they're spiritual to the elder brother at the end of the passage. This coin is lost in the house. And I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to go to hell from a bar stool. It's one thing to go to hell in a homosexual relationship. But it's another thing to go to hell from a padded pew in an air-conditioned church. God forbid this morning that we would be religious and not saved. Lost in the house, there was a man. There's a Southern Baptist evangelist. His name is Jack Daniels. That's his real name, y'all. I didn't make that up. Go look him up on Google. You know, you Google everything, right? Jack Daniels rented out Magnolia High School auditorium, basketball auditorium, brand new state-of-the-art facility my senior year of high school. Jack Daniels preaches a gospel message like he does. He gave an altar call. He said, if you don't know Jesus, he said, if there's ever been a time in your life that you can't recall when you asked to make him Lord, he said, I want you to come down to the altar and give your life to Jesus. And at the shock to everybody in attendance, a Baptist deacon from a church in town came down the steps weeping. Everybody's theology is messed up. This guy's a deacon. He served in the church. You know, Jesus did say, not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father. This Baptist deacon comes walking down the aisle, and people know, and the altar workers know, and they're down there. It's a big bowl auditorium, so everybody's looking down at the stage. And I heard Mr. Jack talk to this guy. By permission, he used the story, and here's what the guy said. He said, man, I was raised in church. I was here every time. I didn't have a chance, a choice, whether or not I wanted to go to church. My mom made me. My grandma made me. I went to vacation Bible school. I know the stories. I know about Noah's Ark. I know about Jonah in the well. I know all of that stuff. But it turns out, I'm just religious. The man could never pinpoint a place in his life where he had actually given Jesus the lordship of his life. I want you to know something today. Jesus gives the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And there are people who started at the beginning of the day, right? Then there were people who came in the mid-morning and people who came at the noontime. And there were some laborers at the end of the day who were standing around doing nothing. And he said, hey, do you want a job? Sure. Here's the agreed wage. It's a day's wage. And the Bible says when payday came and the owner came and he gave everybody their agreed amount, the people who started at the beginning were mad because they said, we've been working longer than they have. The owner said, or the owner of the vineyard said, did we not agree on the wages? Go away from me because I've given you what you've earned. The truth of the matter is, church, listen to me. I'm afraid that today in many of our churches, in many of our societies, many of our denominations, you have people that are on church rolls. They've been baptized. They went down a dry center. They came up a wet one. But they have no fruit of everlasting life in their life. Because there's no fruit of the Spirit, there's no evangelism, there's no souls being won, there's no anything. Listen to me, it's a sad thing to be lost in the house. Lost in the house. Now, I'm not talking about any of you because I don't know you well enough yet. So I can preach hard like this and not be pointed, right? I'm just telling you the fact of the matter. Jesus deals with this as a reality. There is a false conversion mentality in many churches today where people think they're saved, but they're really not. Lost in the house. But I want you to know something today, that if you're lost in the house, you can be found in the house. That Baptist deacon wept his way to salvation because he realized, I can't go to heaven because my grandma was a Sunday school superintendent, and I can't go to heaven because I glued some macaroni on the back of a paper plate at vacation Bible school. I can't go to heaven. The only way I can go to heaven is if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead. Then I shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Lost men are lost in the house. But you know what? Not only are coins lost in the house, but as I alluded to everywhere just a moment ago, you can go to Walmart, you can go to the ATM, you can go to the parking lot. Lost coins are everywhere. You don't have to look too far to find a lost coin. Can I be honest with you? Many of you work with lost coins. You go to school with them. They work at the hospital with you. They work at the college with you. They're in your homeroom class. Many people you work with are lost coins. But I want you to know something. Some of those people, you might look at them and you say, man, they're too far gone. God can't even save them. Those are the type of people that God want to make the biggest testimony out of. Those that the world who's given off. You know, the scripture says he uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. The base things to confound the mighty. The search was intentional. But not only that, watch this. But the results, number three, were joyful. Results were joyful. She finds this coin. She throws a party. She says, I just imagine how this woman is. She says, wow, I found it. That which was lost is now found. Can I let you know something today? The key to having a vibrant, healthy church where people aren't complaining and there's no criticizing is to be a church where there are souls constantly being saved, because the appropriate response to soul winning is joy. Is joy. Seeing people come to the altar, seeing mascara run down people's faces, seeing tears stain the altars, seeing people's lives change, seeing those come bound, leaving free. That is the most exciting thing in the world to me. You can have the religion, you can have the tradition. Just give me Jesus. That's all I want today. That's all I want today. Because a gospel void of power is really no gospel at all. He comes to change a life. And I'm glad this morning that he changes us. Amen. I'm glad that he didn't leave me where he found me. He saw I was valuable. He saw what I had gone through. He saw what I would ever go through. He says, I can use you. I got to clean you up a little bit. But I can use you. Aren't you glad this morning that he can use you? Would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Everyone in this room today. Hallelujah. Who would have ever thought you can mine so much gold from two verses? The fact that Jesus uses a picture to teach us a greater understanding . Men are lost without God. Men are lost without God. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I want to let you know, Jesus loves you so much that he sent his son into this world to die for you. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to. But he loved man so much that he chose to have a relationship with him. You know, I was looking at something earlier. You know, David, scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. But how many of you know he made some pretty huge mistakes? I mean, adultery, murder. I mean, why watch soap operas? Just read Psalms. David messed up more than we possibly could imagine. Hiding in caves, the spears of Saul being thrown at him, his son Absalom turning on him, trying to get his authority. And David had gotten kind of beat up. But I love what he said in Psalms. listen closely. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted. You know, sometimes, watch this, this is important. We don't need to live in the past, but you never need to forget where you came from. Or else we'll become like the older brother who will say, well, Father, I've been here all this time. Yeah, but you're in the Father's house. My prayer this morning is this: restore unto me the joy of our salvation. Make my salvation experience so real to me that I have to tell everybody I know about Jesus. Every Walmart trip, every bank line becomes an evangelistic opportunity. Because I've got to tell about what He's done in my life. Every head bow, every eye closed today. Maybe you're here and you're lost. I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to let the light shine on you. You're in this place today. It doesn't matter if you're 6, 8, 88. Or 91, if you have breath in your body today, I want to ask you a question. Are you right with God? Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you remember when you gave your life to Christ and you actually said, Jesus, take it. I can't do this anymore. I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. I need mercy. I need grace. If not, friend, listen to me. You might just be religious. But today, somebody say, but today, there's mercy. And if you have a need in your life and you say, Jesus, today I'm tired of running. I want to give my life to you. I'll tell you something. You can leave this place having come in with the weight of the world on your shoulders and leaving light as a feather, because the Bible said He'll take your sin. He'll throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, so has He removed our transgressions from us. I'm asking you today, do you know Jesus? Bow your head, close your eyes with me. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you don't know Him, I'm going to invite you to come and pray with me. If not, we're going to pray something different for the rest of us in just a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm asking you right now, Lord, this is no manipulation. This is no twisting of the arm. You're the Holy Spirit. And you can convict and you can bring in. Lord, I'm asking you right now, today, from the oldest to the youngest, if there's a person in this room right now, they don't know you. They might know about you, but they don't know you. They don't have that relationship with you. And Lord, they were to die today and they don't know where they'd spend eternity. I pray right now, before another second ticks on the clock, they'd make their calling and their election sure, that they'd know, you're the Lord of my life, because you're the God of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd touch them, pull on them, and minister to them today. In Jesus' name, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Listen to me, if I'm talking to you, you say, Pastor Brad, listen, I'm not sure I know Jesus. I need to leave out of this place today, sure that I know God. I have a reservation in heaven. When I die, my sins can be forgiven. Then on the count of three, I want to pray for you. There's no judgment. Listen, everybody that's truly saved has gone on this journey. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Him? If you're not sure, on the count of three, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. One, don't be ashamed. Two, three. Is there anybody here? I need to know. I see you, ma'am. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm going to wait for you. Anybody else today? I'm waiting for you. I don't want to just be religious. I want to be saved. I want to know him. Hallelujah. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. You know, if you raise your hand, I want you to come. We want to pray for you this morning. Lonnie, would you pray with this young lady? I want to talk to everybody else this morning. How many of you today would say, Pastor, I want Jesus to take me back to that place when I first got saved? Listen, I just want to prophesy to you this morning. Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are in front of you. And until you start seeing the future for what it can be, God wants to take you back to that place where you have excitement to come into His presence. You come in with your hands up. You come in ready to worship God. You come in with your check made out. You can't wait to give. You can't wait just because I'm saved and I'm glad I'm saved. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus wants to do. Anybody here want God to restore the joy of your salvation? Lift up your hand if that's you. Come on, if that's you, lift it up high. Hallelujah. Here's what I want us to do right now. I want you to grab the hand of the person beside you. Come on, make a chain across the aisles. We've already prayed for the sick today. This is how we're going to dismiss. The scripture says, pray for one another, right? So let's pray. I want you to pray this with me, and then I want you to pray by yourself. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am so glad that I'm saved. Let it overflow in my thoughts, in my heart, out of my mouth. Take me back to the place where I first met you. Let me not forget that I once was lost and that you found me. Help me to find others so they can know you too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now take a second or two and pray for the person beside you right now. Just a second. Just pray. You pray for them. Father, as we pray one for another today, Lord, I pray that you would ignite the fire of evangelism in our hearts. Lord, help us to see every person as an opportunity. Help us to see this community as a harvest field. Lord, you said beckon them to come into your house. So, Lord, I'm asking you right now for increase. Lord, I'm believing you for exponential multiplication. God, I'm asking you right now that there be so many seats to capacity in this place. We have to overflow people. God, right now, for what you're doing in this place, Lord, light the fire again. Light the fire again. Lord, I pray for a contagious faith that those that come around us say, what's wrong with you? That we're like Moses who came out of the presence of God and his face shined with the glory of God. Help us, Lord, to be like that, to be a different people, a chosen people. We might be different in the sight of the world. And God, we thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. You give the Lord a clap offering today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the Give tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.